What's up, guys? Welcome back to another awesome episode of Imperfect. And today I have a friend, a coworker, should I say, used to be a coworker, and a client on the show today. This is Riker Fenstermaker.
What up?
How you doing, man?
Dude, good to be here. Glad to be have the opportunity and hang out.
Heck yeah, man. It's been crazy out there.
It's been wild. It's quite the time.
It is quite the time. We are living through like literally history right now.
Dude, it's going to be, it's scary, but it's going to be one of those things that I feel like I'm gonna be able to enjoy telling stories to my grandkids.
I know,
about it,
right?
You know?
When they're like, "Do you remember, Grandpa? Do you remember 2020?" Yeah. You're like, "Let me tell you."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They don't even know.
I know, it's insane. So, like I said, Riker, that we've known each other for a minute now. We've worked together. Yeah. Hit me up to shoot your wedding video and all those kind of things. And so, jumping into it a little bit, how was your wedding videographer?
Dude, I said. Hands down, it was good. Honestly, not even just because I'm on your podcast. If I had to recommend, and I have multiple times, anybody to like a videographer for a video, it's hands down you. Not even a wedding, dude. Weddings, you guys need anything shot, this is your man.
Well, thank you so much, man. It was awesome working with you guys. And that was like, that was probably one of my first favorable, and I'm not saying this either, but I shot probably a dozen before you. But that was the first one with like the drone turned out good. Everything just like, I was like, okay, this is.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. I'm definitely glad we chose to do the video. Like anybody that's on the fence, if you're getting married and you're thinking video or camera, do them both. Spend the extra money. It's definitely worth it. And
yeah, like what pushed you over? Because I talk to people about that all the time and they're always like, I want a wedding video, but it's maybe too pricey, but blah, blah, like, is it worth it? And I'm just like. To me, obviously, I'm biased, but it's like, for me, it's like to hear people giving their speeches and those vows and to see your grandparents moving and like things like that. Like, that's exciting and like one of a kind, like capturing.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the biggest thing, too. And I know you said vows, but don't let, like, if you're somebody that's on the fence about having your vows, like me and my wife and I, we just chose to pick a song. Gage did a great job of combining the song and the video. Like, my wife and myself, we don't like talking very much in front of people, so we chose to do the music over it, and it turned out perfect. Like, it's a killer thing to do either way, and like I said, I'm glad we did it. And the people that are on the fence, like, if you're on the fence, dude, you're already on the fence, just jump
just
in.
Do
like,
it,
just
yo.
Do it. What are you going to do? If you don't like it, okay, delete it. Yeah, it's money, but I promise you're not gonna not like it.
Yeah, there's definitely just moments that are just so good to capture on camera.
Exactly.
Like, I can't, even because my wedding was coming up when we were considering a videographer, and I'm just like, should I have a videographer at my own wedding? I never thought about this, being on the other side. But of course, I did it because I'm thinking about, you know, my grandparents. We might have a couple of dogs show up, and a lot of people, like, there's just a lot of things I want to capture that, I mean, when people pass in it, it flipped a switch for me. To know like how important this is I shot a wedding about a year ago, and I shot this dog that was their best man that carried the rings down the row, you know, but that dog passed away, and it was like 18 years old. Like, it was an old dog.
Damn.
But and just seeing her post the video and just being like, man, like look at him move and look at like how happy he looked. Yeah. I'm just like, man, this actually means shit.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's like that's what I thought too. Instead of my grandparents. I kind of thought of my grandkids, and you know, even my kids alone, like, I know I wouldn't want to sit through and look at, I love my parents to death, but I'm not going to want to sit and look at pictures, you know, like, come on, slap it on the iPod. Let's watch it.
Let's
you know,
go,
if I have a choice, obviously I love the pictures. I love looking at the pictures. I'm more than grateful my parents did it, but if you got the choice, it's so much easier to watch for other people as well.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Especially people that didn't make it. Do you have anybody not make it? And they're like, yo, here's
yeah. Like even now, like we've expanded our friendships with so many people.
Oh, that's
like,
true. Yeah.
They're like, I mean, I feel bad cause they weren't at the wedding, you know? So I'm not like, here, this is the next back thing. Watch the video, you know, but it does give people the opportunity to watch it because so many special people are going to come in your life after the fact that you got married. That's another good thing to just let them watch it if they want, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And before we kind of like move further too, just to ask you, cause I've asked this a couple of times, it's been kind of a hot segment on the show is how much people spend on their weddings.
Dude,
do you know, or willing, but do you know roughly how much you spent on your wedding?
It's so hard. Like, my memory's not great, and I'm not one to, like, I would straight up tell you the number right now if I knew. I'm not one to hide it, but, God, we did so much shit, like, ourselves to just save on costs. I mean, we built so much stuff. We built the cake top, or the cake pedestal,
you guys bought
dude.
That?
We built,
no
yeah,
way.
We built the thing that holds the cake. We didn't have anybody cater. We cooked our own food, you know. But the venue was like $2,000. And then, I don't know, Like, I think that was the biggest thing was the venue. Right. I mean, the video, the announcements. Like, dude, it was... And then, of course, like, the dress and stuff. But
so you could probably say under 5G or something like that?
Oh, for sure. Probably close to 5G. Not over, I know for a fact. Yeah.
Okay, cool. See, that's like... If people hear that number, they're like, what, 5G? Yeah. But, like, what you just said right there, you're like, we did all of this ourselves. Yep. But, you know, you'll get bit in the ass just when it comes to wedding dress, venue... People have food, like those three things can equal five grand. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. And it was a nice thing. We're young, we like to hustle, so we didn't mind putting in the work in the weekend, you know, building the shit ourselves. I'm not one to just throw my hands up in there and hire a bunch of people. If I can do it, I'm gonna do it. And we had a bunch of help with our parents and friends. So shout out to all them. Thanks.
DIY. Exactly. I love it, man. I love it. So you are a busy man, bro. Two majors I hear you're getting. What are those two majors?
Business marketing and business management. So luckily they're under the same college of business, so it's not as hard if I'm getting two different colleges, but it's a grind.
I believe it, man. How long have you been going to school now?
Five. This will be the fifth year.
So 5 years, and you were able to get two majors.
Exactly.
That's crazy, bro. I've been in school 6 years. I'm getting one.
Yeah, it's a grind. I'm on the fence, but I think I made the decision. I'm going to stay and get my MBA, knock it out, you know?
Really? Yeah. Bro, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hated school in high school. Like, I hated learning. I hated the shit. I just was there for the sports, but graduated, came to college. I love learning, and, you know, I can see being a professor in my future, so I might as well just stay and grind it out, you know? Get the master's. That's one step closer to the PhD still scares me, but... Yeah, the master scared me too.
Isn't it just crazy how high school is so different than going to college?
Like, yeah, high school is wild. Like, I just had a completely different perspective in life. You know, I thought like everybody says they thought they had it figured out, dude. I literally thought I had it figured out. But coming to college, it opened your eyes, and I feel like it made my priorities really show up. You know, and I'm grateful I made the decision to come to college. My parents weren't ones to like force it on me. You know, they obviously wanted me to go to college, and they kind of made it clear, but they were not like, go to college, get out, you know?
Disown you.
Yeah. They were cool about it. And I'm glad, you know, I'm glad I made the decision to come on my own and didn't get pushed into it.
Yep. Same. I wasn't very heavily pushed. I was encouraged same way, but it's like, I think college just, a guest said something a couple shows ago, and it really clicked. He said, like, what it is like, if you go to college and come out, like, in the thinking mode that you're like, I don't even, like, there's, if you realize there's more you don't know, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, I feel like you come to college and you're just like, there's so much more that you don't know.
Yep.
Coming to college, like, my plan, especially with dance anyways, is I was like, I'm going to be, like, I'm going to learn every dance thing, blah, blah, blah. And then when I didn't graduate with that program, but I was very close. And when I was about to graduate, all I can remember thinking was like, there is so much I don't know about dance. I broadened my memory that like now it's just like, there's so much more to dance than I ever thought there was. It's like, I thought I was going there, learning your counts, learning a couple new moves. No, it's like.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing too. Like, I think that's why, I wouldn't say it's a trap. College is not a trap by any means, but like, dude, you come in here, you get your undergrad and you're just like, wow, there's so much out there. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you're just intrigued to. And a lot of people self-teach themselves, you know, they'll get their undergrad and they'll go get a job and then they'll still do research on the side. That's great. You know, cool. I love that. But I think I'm just so intrigued that I want to just
keep
expand
going.
The knowledge, you know, just build the brain and just do it while I can.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. College can be one of those things that's just eye-opening, but like also inspires, encourages you to just do all these different things. You know, it just opens your mind. But like you said, that mindset from leaving high school was like completely different, you know, just like that thinking like, oh, this is what I'm gonna do, it's this simple, like you can do this, like then you get to college and it's like, it's hard work.
Yeah, but it's a grind, it's a hustle. And you know, there's people out there that they're not gonna go to college, but dude, they're damn successful. I have friends that they're rolling in the cash and they didn't go to college. They did trade jobs, like hands down, you go. I like it. You just do what you love, you know? Yeah. If you do what you love, life's going to be easy and you're going to blink and it's going to be by, so.
That's like the biggest argument too about people, like if you should go to college or not. It's different for certain people.
Exactly.
Some people have the right, you know, contacts that they can get those kind of good jobs right off the bat. Why go to college, spend 40K, 4 years of your life, when you can jump in literally next week into a job that's going to pay you 100?
Exactly. Like, yeah, there's so many like different things to think about, you know, where you're at, what you want to do. Just it's crazy.
Like, it is crazy.
College,
man,
is not a overnight decision by any means.
It's not, dude.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Don't underthink it either.
For real. So, bringing you on too, because you have, you know, you're going to college, you're getting these double majors, which is a grind itself, but you are very interested and passionate about, what is it? Freestyle bull riding.
Bullfighting.
Bullfighting.
Yeah. So I kind of do it just an umbrella in general. There's bullfighting, you know, there's two aspects of bullfighting. There's freestyle and then there's cowboy protection. The first one, freestyle, is, it's just you and the bull. A lot of organizations use a purebred Mexican fighting bull. It's like the ones you see in Spain, and it's really just you against the bull for 60 seconds or 45 seconds, depending on the organization you fight with. And we don't hurt the animals here in the States, though. We don't stab them. We don't do anything. Like, those things get pampered. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm a college student. I'm hustling, and those things definitely get treated better than I do.
Really?
Like, they get fed out the ass, dude. They get treated so well. And so it's just you against the bull for 60 seconds. You know, you do your tricks. It's pretty cool. Like, you're judged based on your style and your control and your creativity. Like, the organization I fight with sometimes is BFO, stands for Bullfighters Only. Shout out to them. If you guys want to watch some crazy shit, go on their Instagram, dude. Like it, follow it. It's cool. Like, you see some cool kids there. They're throwing front flips, back flips. There's some bad cats out there. And then, not to get on a rabbit hole with that one, we'll go over to the cowboy protection. What that is, it's your more traditional stuff, you know, like the bull rider and the rodeos. The bull rider falls off, the cowboy protection, you step in and you protect the cowboy. Like, those are kind of the two things that that fall under bullfighting, and that's the one thing I love, you know.
Right. So that's the one too, where they have people, like, when he falls off, like, they have a bunch of people coming.
Yeah. Usually there's teams of two, maybe three, depending on the size of the rodeo.
So are you getting scored on how he's riding the bull, or are you getting scored on how people are protecting him from the bull?
Yeah, so there's different things, but basically the standard at rodeos is the bull rider will come in and they're competing against each bull rider, but the bullfighters are just set contract. They're called contract personnel. Like, you get hired to come in and protect the bull riders. So you get a set check, yeah, for sure.
That's interesting.
But yeah, the bull riders, they compete. Highest score wins, obviously, but it's nice. Bullfighters, you show up, do your job, you get a check. I mean, you get the check either way, but if you don't do the job, your ass ain't coming back.
Yeah,
so.
Big facts. I was about to say, like, I've seen some videos and they always, like, are they trying to, like, confuse the bull? Because I always seem like kind of running around the bull, and they're always like,
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. So when that bull rider falls off, it's more distracting the bull. Like, you kind of want to get in the eyes of the bull, because there's mean bulls, there's not mean bulls, but you don't know which one's which most of the time. So you want to get their attention and then just draw it away from the bull rider, you know?
I guess
you don't really want to distract him, because he might lose focus on you, you know? Like, you want to stay engaged the whole time with that bull and keep him drawn away from the bull rider, because obviously your ultimate goal is to save the bull, bull rider, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, it's cool. I love it. You know, you see some crazy shit, but it's fun.
Yeah, specifically just knowing that you're going to come on the podcast, I was watching bull riding videos and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This looks intense, dude.
Like, yeah, there's some cool stuff, you know. And that's why I said, like, the freestyle bullfighting here in the States, it's exploding. Like, it is wild. I guarantee you, like, wherever you're at, there's probably going to be one close. Like, we just did one in Rexburg last year. In Utah. Like, those are close ones. Obviously, we go all over the States, but yeah, there's definitely, wherever you're at, listen to this badass podcast. There's a bullfight around you. Look it up.
Check it out.
Exactly.
That's dope. So you mentioned, like, in other places, they'll, like, stab the bulls. Like, they legit give them, like, knives and stuff.
Yep. It's wild. And
so is the goal, like, to kill it?
Yeah. So I guess I can't, I don't want to speak out of my lane, because I've never done as much research as I like to in it, but yeah, over in Spain like, I know for sure in Spain, and I'm sure it's done elsewhere. Like, yeah, the goal is to take it to the bull and ultimately to kill him.
Dang, that's intense.
And it's like I said,
it kind of just sounds like hunting, but in front of people.
Yeah, it's wild. It's nuts over there. Like, they do them in big old coliseums, or big old, I don't know if it's coliseum, but big ass arenas, dude. There's a lot of people. And then I think, like I said, I don't know much, so I'm kind of, don't quote me on this, guys, but like, after they kill him, I'm pretty sure they feed him up. Like, they feed them to the people there.
Right.
So
At least which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wasting it, but by no means is that ideal.
It sounds literally just like hunting, like a sport. You go out, it's fun, yep. It's a game, mm-hmm. but when you kill it, you do take it home.
Exactly. Right? I mean, like, you gotta
it's
kind of
like in
it.
The hunting culture, like if you kill an animal and you don't like eat it, like you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, you're a dick.
you should eat your deer meat.
Exactly. Like, you know? Or don't waste the time over the animal.
Yeah, for real. And I never really like tasted like fresh killed. My uncle's a huge hunter and he's like, yeah. You gotta try this deer jerky. I was like, deer jerky? Dude. I was like, bro, it's good. Like,
yeah, dude. Hunting
I don't
is
know
the
what
shit.
It was. I was like, uncle, I need a bag
yeah.
of this shit.
Yeah, I like hunting. I definitely spend some falls up in the mountains.
Heck yeah, man.
It's a grind.
That is dope. That's dope. So how long, when you're in the ring and you're fighting and you're freestyling these bulls, like how long do you have?
So like the freestyle, depending on the organization. So there's two different organizations, roughly big ones that are kind of expanding. There's a Shorty Gorm, American Freestyle Bullfighting, and Bullfighters Only. The two organizations, they have different times. Shorty Gorms, you're fighting for 45 seconds. And the BFO, Bullfighters Only, it's 60 seconds.
Got you. So
mandatory.
When you get in there, like what's the goal? Just to show off as much? To like catch the bull?
The judging like criteria is creativity, control, and like showing that or being vulnerable, I guess, to the bull. Like you want to expose yourself to potential
arm.
Injuries, really. The most simple way, yeah. But yeah, it's pretty. There's some creative shit. Like, dude, it's wild. Like 5 years ago, I would have never thought that the kids could be throwing what they throw nowadays. Like, there's some cool kids. Chance Mormon, DeKevis Jordan. These kids got hops, dude. They can jump and they literally jump straight up and front flip over these bulls.
Oh my
god, dude, it's wild.
That's intense.
Yeah, they're cool.
That's intense, yeah. Bro. Have you ever got hurt doing that?
Yeah, dude. It's definitely going to happen. Like if you choose, I guess it's probably the same with any action sport. Like if you choose to do it, like it's not if, but when.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so last two summers ago in Colorado Springs, I actually 2 months or a month before my wedding, I shattered my nose.
Oh, yeah,
dude.
That's
yeah.
right.
Straight folded my nose over, had to get surgery and
oh my God.
It was wild. Stitched up my face. And then last summer I actually took a horn through the leg right here. Like it,
bro.
And it was just right here in our back door in Nampa, Idaho, right there at the big PBR. The horn went straight in.
Oh my god, you got video of this,
dude? I think there is a video. It happened so fast. Like the first 5 seconds of the fight, like I threw a fake to the left, he went by. I went to throw a fake to the right, and I didn't move this leg away in time, and the horn went in, and it did some work.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's scary, bro.
Yeah, so
like your adrenaline's gotta be up,
dude,
bro.
It's through the roof. Like it's crazy. And that's probably my biggest flaw. Like, dude, I have a hard time of controlling like the adrenaline and like the mental aspect of it, you know? Like if somebody tells you you're scared before they're about to fight a bull, dude, they're batshit crazy or they're just lying to you. Because dude, everybody is nervous or scared in a way.
Yeah.
And that's where you'll see the champions, the ones that can actually hone that nervousness and like control it to their factor is their next level. And that's, I'm hoping to get there. You know, I've been doing some research on just controlling your mind because it is a powerful thing. And I hope to get there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like nervousness, even as a dancer, every time you go on stage, I've heard plenty of dancers, I'm not nervous, which, you know, I think I agree with you. I think everybody is nervous, but I think confidence is what, you know, really goes over that.
Yeah.
Nervous. Like, even though I might be nervous, like I got confidence. Like I'm gonna kill this. I'm gonna get out there. I'm just gonna like, you know.
Yep.
But that mental, I'm the same way. I'm always a nervous wreck. Like before, like speaking or dancing or whatever it may be, like about to do something. I'm a nervous wreck before it happens. I hate waiting. I just the best way to explain. I feel like when you're about to get on a roller coaster and you're like still 50, like should I get on this roller coaster?
Yeah.
It looks scary as hell, but it looks fun as hell.
Exactly.
I've already been in line for an hour. Like, and you're just like waiting. You're like, just put me on the damn roller. Like,
exactly.
I just want to walk up, get on and just, you know, because once you are on, I feel like it goes down. You know, like once everything starts, don't you feel like you kind of like get a hang of it a little bit?
Yeah, that's great. That's a perfect, like, I can relate totally to that with the roller coaster thing. Like before this, you're like, dude, come on. Like, I'm not a pussy. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, it's not that I don't want to do this, but I just want it to start already. Like, I'm ready to do this. Like,
yeah, it's just the waiting.
I'm just tired of waiting, you know, because when you wait, like, that's the biggest thing.
That's when you get in
your head. Yeah, like hands down to those guys that don't get in their head. And I'm sure there's ones out there like, great, dude, you guys are badass. Like, I hands down to you, but, it sucks. I'm not to that point yet. And maybe that's why I am hurt. Maybe I need to figure some shit out. But, you know, I'm going to continue to grind and get to that spot. And, you know, it's pretty clear. That's my imperfection, honestly, dude. Like, I didn't even plan on relating that. But, you know, we dove into it and I kind of self-recognized that, you know, as we talk.
Yeah, definitely. I agree, man. It's definitely a mental, it's never just like your skill and your knowledge or whatever you do. Cause when you're put, I mean, I could kill a dance behind the scenes, or even you when you're like doing it just alone, practicing or whatever. But as soon as you're in front of people and that pressure and it's the moment, it's what you've practiced for. Yeah. That's when that you're thinking is like, oh man, you just start stressing yourself out, you know?
Yeah, the people aspect, and the fact that it's like a 1,500-pound animal just coming at your ass ready to literally put you in the ground.
Yeah.
It's
so cool. So why are bulls so pissed off? Like, are they raised aggressive or?
It's in their genes, honestly. You know, like, it's in their bloodlines. There's bulls that you'll come across that aren't mean. Like, there's literally pet bulls around here, around the world, like, and then there's just mean ones. And it's also the atmosphere, like, couple of my buddies, Hunter Saltzman and Lilo Garcia, they actually own these purebred fighting bulls. Like, dude, they're straight up from Spain. Like, they're the real deal, like, bulls. And I just went up and spent a week up with Hunter in Montana where he has those bulls. And I have pictures of Aspen and myself, my wife Aspen, petting them, dude. Like, they're chill. At home, they're chill. Like, they're cool. You can pet some of them.
So, but when they're in the ring, I heard a rumor, not even a rumor, I think I read it somewhere when I was doing the research, whatever, but I read that they, like, tighten their balls or something.
Yeah, dude, that's probably the biggest myth that goes around.
Is that really? Oh, dude,
straight
up. That's not true?
That is not true. Promise. What? I didn't know my research about the Spain shit, but I know my research about this, dude. It's called a flank, and it's just a flank strap. And what it does is it puts them around their hip, and it just kind of keeps those back feet together. So instead of four different feet coming at you, because then they're obviously more athletic with four different feet, it kind of ties those two back feet together. So they have two in the front, and then just one big foot in the back. So as they're coming to you, they kind of have to move these feet together so they kind of aren't as fast. And that's with the fighting bulls. And then with the bucking bulls, they just put that kind of the same thing. And I haven't done as much research on the bucking bulls as I has the fighting bulls. But, yeah, it's not even close to their balls. It's not close. It's on their hip. There's some badass pictures out there that clearly show that it's not. Like, dude, those animals do not get hurt, I promise. Like, I was on the fence probably 7 years ago, like, whether it does hurt the animals or not, before I even got into bull riding or bullfighting. But now being around it for the last 5 years, these animals love their job. You can see it in their eyes. Like, when they're back at home and they see the horse trailer come around and they know it's time to go to town to buck or to fight, they're ready and they're stoked. Like, it's cool.
When I watch it, it's like a bigger version of, like, when I see someone playing with their dog. Like, they're touching their dog and they're moving around him. The dog's chasing him. I'm like, it's just a bigger-ass animal. Like,
dude, yeah, it's a big-ass mean animal. That's crazy. Like, it's a dog that wants to kill you, literally.
Yeah, literally.
Dude, literally wants to kill you.
Yeah, so God, that's insane. I always just, I think I just grew up with that, too. Just, like, the whole tying the balls down, thinking that's, like, actually legit.
Yeah, it's a big thing that, you know, some people, like, people aren't into Western sports. They're not into rodeo, so they're not going to do the research. Okay, well, that's cool. You know, like, nothing against you, but if you want to truly understand, it's not hard to find the answers. You know, it's not hard to find, like, research that shows that it's not true. You know,
right? Yeah, because that definitely pissed me off, having your balls tied.
Oh, for sure, dude. I probably wouldn't even do anything if someone tried to tie my balls. I would probably fight back or just sit there. Like, I wouldn't run. Like, I would not do what they do.
That's why I wanted you to clarify, because I was literally going to ask you, like, whose job is it to tie the balls? To be like, all right, it's before the thing, let's just tie these guys back.
Dude,
like,
that person would get the short end of the stick if that ever was to happen. Yeah, that would suck.
So, like, in preparation, though, you said they put that band around them. Is it the owner that normally does, like, kind of preps them? Mm-hmm. I was about to say, because if the owner were to do that, though, and go in the ring, would they act the same way? Or do they, you know, like, because is that normal? Like, do you bring your own bulls to fight with?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. So I guess, no, the owners don't fight their own bulls, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so the owners will bring their bulls to fight other people, but they'll put the flank on them. And even if the owner's in the middle of the arena with a shit ton of people around and, like, an actual rodeo arena, dude, that bull's still going to take that owner out, I would think. I haven't been around him as much as probably those owners. So if there's an owner listening and he's calling me out on my shit, I apologize. But, dude, as much as I would think, like, once the bull sees the shit, like, when he's in the bucking chutes, like, that you see at rodeo grounds, like, he knows what's going on. Like, he knows there's one guy in the middle of that arena and his deal is to put on a show and to try and put his ass in the dirt.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They're smart. They are smart animals.
Like, yeah, they definitely seem like it. Yeah. Like, just that... that preparation. So if he owns a bull and brings it, do they get paid? Is that like a normal thing?
Yeah, they get paid X amount of money per bull that they bring. Really? And I haven't done much research or asked much questions about that.
Is there like bull training, like a horse, right? If you buy a horse, you have to break the horse in to like ride it and stuff. Or is it more you raise a bull, like you feed him, you just raise him? Is there any kind of training a bull needs?
Like? For the bucking bulls, there for sure is training. Like there's a lot of money in the bucking bull industry. Like a lot of people will raise them from the ground up, and they'll put little bucking bull dummies, like they're just little fake boxes that they put on their backs to kind of replicate a little person or a human, and just to kind of see what they do. And they'll exercise them. And a lot of big thing is in the bloodlines. Like there's a lot of money in the breeding. Like you've got your Michael Jordans of bulls, and you've got your,
that's wild.
Dude, yeah. Like you've got your good,
stuff. So do you own any bulls?
I don't know. That's something that probably wouldn't go well here on campus living here on campus. Right. I don't think I could talk the building manager and let me put it in the backyard. But in the future, I want to, yes.
I remember my high school, they had a newspaper article, and it was like big news at the time. This is like 6 years ago. But a student rode a bull to campus, which was wild. And then like his dad rode it home or whatever. But he got pulled over and made the newspaper because there's nothing illegal about it, I guess. Yeah, as long as they have their, I think they need like a harness or like
probably some saddle, kind of saddle, something. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Something like that. But it's like if they have it, there's nothing illegal. I'm like, what? Dude. Only in the state of Idaho and Pocatello can you freaking walk a freaking, yeah, or ride a bull to class.
That would be cool. That would be wild. Yeah. Like insane. I said, there's some crazy, there's like pet bulls out there. Like you'll see videos on Facebook. Well, I do because I'm obviously invested into that stuff, you know. But yeah, they'll let them. And I probably you guys see a lot of like the baby calves, dude. Those things are expanding. Like everybody wants a little calf as a pet. It's the same thing as bulls, dude. There's some crazy, and people get tied into the bulls very well. Like it becomes a family member. Like there's a lot of stock contractors that I work for. When their bulls pass away, like you can tell, dude, it hurts. It hits them hard.
Yeah, I bet, man. So like you say Michael Jordan of bulls. Have you ever like looked, like how much is it? Do you have any idea?
Dude, it's such a big variance. Like there's probably $500,000 at least per bull out there. Dude, there's $1 million bulls out there. I would think. I don't have that money, so I don't look at it, you know.
Have you ever looked at a bull around here, like how much cost would be?
Yeah, I think probably safe to say $2,000 at most to get like a high school level, you could probably sneak away with like $1,000 or something. I don't know. Those numbers, they're not extremely crazy. Like, you could probably go to your local sale barn and buy a bull that would do something like at a high school rodeo. Like high school rodeos, you don't have very many special bulls, but like the PBR, like the professional bull riders, like those guys, those are the big bucks. Like, they have a lot of money invested into those bulls. Like they're people that make livings just raising them.
So bullfightings, do they only happen at rodeos? Like,
No, so the cowboy protection aspect of bull fighting obviously can only happen at rodeos or bull ridings because you have to have bull riders to protect the bull riders. But the freestyle aspect, there's so many, like, you don't have to have the whole rodeo. You have to have a Mexican fighting bull and a bullfighter, the most simplest form, and judges. But obviously the organizations around, they want to have production and you want to have a good show because people want to come to it. So there's standalone events all over the place.
So it's not under the umbrella of a rodeo.
And that's the coolest thing about like bullfighters only is they kind of categorize themselves as not a Western sport, but an action sport Western tie, you know, cause it is an action sport. It has an aspect of Western, but I would say it's more action than Western. Like that's the biggest thing. When I tell people I'm a bullfighter, they say, oh, you're a cowboy. Like, no, dude, I'm not hats out to kill those cowboys, dude. That's some tough bastards. Like, they're cool, but I'm not a cowboy. I don't wear a cowboy hat. I don't wear boots. Like I wear jeans. Like I wear khaki pants and some freaking Vans.
It's like what even is a cowboy? You know, just
a tough bastard that lives in the mountains and pushes his cows around, dude, and rides a horse.
There you go.
Hell yeah, cowboys. They're the real deal. Props to you guys.
That was my first thought when I first saw you're doing the bull riding thing too, or the bullfighting, and I was just like, is he a cowboy? Like he does not look like a cowboy. No, but I was like, huh. Maybe, I don't know.
No, dude, them cowboys, those guys are essential. They're still working. They're still grinding it out. Us bullfighters, we kind of, all the productions obviously got slowed down with this virus spreading. So So the bullfights kind of got slowed down, but...
Right, right. But you're still out there and you're still...
Yeah, dude, still out there working out and eating good and getting ready for the next one to pop up.
So. Right. So I was about to say, like, what is the income level of doing something like this?
It's kind of the same. I got shitty answers for you on these, but, dude, they vary so well. Like, there's people like me that go to school full-time and work full-time and still do it on the side, you know, while I'm going to school. Yeah, in the future, I want to do it full-time and make a living, and there's people out there that do it. Dude, there's people that break six figures that can do it, like the freestyle, the BFO. Dude, they pay out six figures the last 4 years to the number one guy in the standings, like, and that's six figures per year, obviously. Right, they broke 100 grand, you know. But people like me that just hit the rodeos. Now I'm on the verge of getting my pro card, so hopefully get my degree and do some marketing in the Western sports environment and try and do it full time. If I can make the money and it's not all about the money. If I can make enough money to pay my bills and support my wife and my family that I hope to have in the future, then for sure I'm gonna do it. You know.
Right. Like, so that's definitely where you want to go.
Yeah, that's the goal. And that's the biggest thing is people kind of think that I'm just pissing my time away and getting a bachelor's or getting an MBA, but not really, you know, like you got to be able to market yourself. You got to be able to sell yourself no matter what industry or whatever job you're doing. So I'm not wasting my time by getting this college degree. And dude, you're probably going to bullfight to what? 40, mid 40s. What are you going to do after that? You know, like I got to have a backup plan.
Right.
And just because I went to college does not mean I got it all figured out by any means. Like there's guys out there that's bullfighting full time now and they've got their shit figured out by not going to college.
Yeah. But
that's just my life goal right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, marketing can never hurt, man. Like I was every guest that's come on here, like there, a lot of people are doing good things. A lot of people are marketing themselves. Like, you know, if you're a dancer, you're a promoter, you're a rapper, you're a singer, you're a producer, like whatever it may be, like you have to promote. Cause you know, I have this thought that like you can be really good, but it doesn't mean you're going to make it by any means because there's so many talented people out there, but you have to separate yourself. And that's where marketing comes in. I mean, what's, you know, taking, you know, a friend from college that's graduating the music program that's wants to make beats for rappers or whatever compared to the 12-year-old with the same software making beats.
Exactly.
It's how you market yourself. Yep. You know, they might both have equally good content or whatever, but you need to market yourself. You need to focus on your image, how you post, how you want your brand to be like that takes marketing. Marketing cannot hurt.
Yeah, you gotta learn to sell yourself in life and not in a bad way. God, don't take that as a dumb way, but you gotta learn to sell yourself, whether it's to a future job, to an employer, to the simplest form of trying to ask your parents to go do something when you're young. Like you're learning to sell yourself young. You're asking your mom, hey, can I go hang out with Joe Schmo? Like, I'll do this and this or whatever, you know, and it's something you're gonna learn and you're going to continue to grow and expand the knowledge and it's been super cool going to college and already kind of having an idea of what I want to do with it, because I can relate my courses directly to this career option that I choose.
And that's what I love about being in college is just being able to, because if you know exactly what you want to do, like I want to be a filmmaker, I want to make videos, I want to do those things, it's so nice that there's actual people that are in the business, like professors and things, rather than just like ask them like, oh, what do you want for your assignment? It's like, oh, for this assignment, can I make this film? Because this is what I want to do, you know? And then you actually get really much better feedback and knowledge towards your goal, you know?
Yeah. And that's been the coolest thing too. Another cool thing, because you shouldn't say the coolest, but about college is a lot of people here, especially in the college, they don't understand what bullfighting is. So it's given me an opportunity to try to teach, you know, like I said, I want to be a professor in the future. So let me try and teach these professors now that I have what this is, and let me see how clearly I can teach them what bullfighting is and clearly represent Western sports as a whole in a positive way.
Yeah, I love it, man. I absolutely love it. So going to college and like relating these things back and forth, back to the original question, like when you do do a show or something like that, is it like a guaranteed amount of income? Is it more like a scoring system? Like, yeah, if you get first, you get X amount of money type thing.
So it depends between the bullfighting competition, like the freestyle, and then the bull, like the protection, the cowboy protection, as you hear. Cowboy protection, you're going to get a set check depending on the organization. And there's also obviously cowboy protection competitions where you can go with a partner and compete against other teams. And that's based on if you win or not. But the basics, the rodeo, you're showing up, you're getting hired to protect those bull riders. You're going to get paid to protect those bull riders. And then the freestyle aspect, it's a gamble. Usually you'll have the standalone events. It's 15 people, depending on the organization's top three get paid or top five. So, wow. Dude, it's competition. But it's competition that I promise. I shouldn't say I promise. That if you haven't been a bullfighter, you probably understand, but you don't understand it in a way of bullfighting, because you're not competing against, like, you are competing against each other, but it doesn't feel that way. Right. Like, you want everybody around you to succeed and all to, like, get in there, do a good job, and get out safe. You know, like, everybody's rooting each other on. Like, it's not, and if somebody gets their ass hooked, like, if they get knocked in the dirt, like, the people, your homies that are there competing against you, they're right there saving you. Right. Like, they're down there in the trenches helping you get out.
Right.
But yeah, there's judges that score, and like I said, top five or top three get paid.
Damn.
So it's a gamble, and we live in a place like here in Idaho that there's not a whole lot of those freestyle competitions. So I've got to put some miles in to get to them. Yeah. And it's a big gamble.
Don't you go to Vegas quite often for that?
Yeah. So every December, I've been lucky enough to go there the last 2 years. Blessed. That's with the Bullfighters only. I've gotten the invite. It's great.
Cool.
If you're ever in Vegas during the NFR in December, it's like the second week. Swing there on by. Go. We're at the Tropicana all week. Yeah. But yeah, you go all over. We go to Vegas in December. I mean, been to South Dakota, Oregon, Nevada, Washington, Colorado,
man.
Montana, Wyoming. Yeah, it's crazy. Not a whole lot of Eastern states, but
that's a grind.
Yeah. you put in some miles, but it's a lifestyle. It's fun. I like it. And I've been able to, luckily when I started this journey of becoming a bullfighter, I was kind of young in it when I met my wife. So we've kind of been able to grow into it together. Like, she's met a lot of friends through this Western sports. I've met a lot of friends through this Western sports, and we've kind of just developed it and took it one step at a time together. And I'm blessed that she's with me taking that journey. You know, I wouldn't be here without her.
Right. So do you bring your own bulls when you go to these competitions?
No, we just bring ourselves. So you have the big organization. They hire all the personnel, like whether it be the sound guys, the announcers, the judges,
right.
And then they hire the stock contractors, which are the ones that bring the bulls. And then us competitors, I guess, you would, depending on the organization, you either get invited to come fight or you enter up and then you come show up, and you literally just show up with your gear, and you pay your entry fee. If there's an entry fee, you fight. If you win some money, you take that check. If you don't, you lick your wounds and you go home. You
right.
But you have a damn good time while you're doing it, whether you win or not. Right. It's fun. Yeah. I love the people that are in the sport, and it's probably just like any other hobby or job that people have.
That's dope, dude. I really want to put like a GoPro from your point of view, dude.
I've got one at home, but it's old. I haven't fired it up in a while.
Dude, you need to. I want to see that perspective.
Yeah, I'll fire one up and I'll send it your way.
That'd be intense. Yeah. I'd love to see that. But yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy that you just kind of show up and then hop on a bull. So do you get to meet them, or they're just like,
so you'll show up if anybody's been to a rodeo arena, I guess. If not, you kind of roll up to the fairgrounds, you get a special pass where you can go in the back and you park, get all your gear, get ready. And usually when you're going to the arena, you'll see them back in some pens. You can go over there and look at them if you want. I prefer not to, you know, like, I know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do, but I know that they're going to be pissed and they're going to want to put my ass in the dirt. So I don't, a lot of people will go over there and look at them and size them up, but just until I get that grasp on that mental aspect of it, it helps me to just go, just go get ready. And before I fight, I'll go talk to the stock contractor and get an idea of, like, he'll tell me, okay, hey, this bull's young, or hey, this bull's old and smart. Like, be careful. He won't say be careful. He'll just say be smart with him, you know?
Right.
And some will have horns, one horn. Some will have big ass horns. You, with the freestyles, I've yet to see some without any horns. So,
damn, man.
Yeah.
So, like, what attracts you to all this? You just,
I don't know.
Like, why do you love getting into a damn,
I don't know.
Pit,
I mean,
with a bowl.
In high school, I always did sports, you know, football, wrestled, and I love to compete. I like to go to the rodeos, you know, when I was young, I never was a cowboy, but I liked the rodeos, you know, and I always watched the bullfighters. And my parents, they were probably smart by not letting me do it, you know, while I was in high school. I'm glad they kept me in sports. But as soon as I graduated and kind of came up here and was out of the sports, I needed something to compete in. I needed to crave. I was craving something. So just joined a school, like it's a weekend school. It's not like a a semester or anything. It's just a one weekend. You kind of go to a rodeo arena, and there's some people, some professionals there that show you the ropes. And after I did that, I just hustled, dude. I called so many stock contractors, so many bull owners, and just hustled, and then finally got some stock contractors to hire me, and it's just exploded from there.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep, yep.
When you get a grind, though, you got to chase it, man.
Exactly. And it's,
you know?
And I haven't regretted one bit of it. You know, I haven't been like, damn, if I wouldn't have spent so much time making those phone calls, I could have done this. It's like,
no.
I look at it like, damn, I should have made more phone calls and I could have been somewhere else, you know, but it's whatever. I don't regret it. I'm glad I'm here and I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Heck yeah, man. I love that. I love that a lot.
Yeah.
Damn, man. That's crazy. But I just got to thank you so much for coming on and sharing us the inside life.
Yeah.
Of a bull owner or bull fighter, sorry.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Bull rider, owner, fighter.
Straight up. It's been fun. I'm glad you had me. Like I said, if you guys are interested in the Western sports in general, follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, follow him on Instagram. Dude. Look at those clips, bro, because those clips are crazy.
It's fun. Dude. I think you guys will like it. I mean, I promise, even if you're not into Western sports, like just... You get bored, you get down the rabbit hole, lay in a bed, and you know,
yeah.
You want to watch something, then
I love it, man. I'm just happy to know that their balls ain't tied.
Good, yeah, good information. Exactly. They're not tied, I promise. You can quote me on that one.
Sounds good, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey,
thank you all for watching. Peace out.